Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, hey, in the night,
hey girls, and what up, dudes? This is your girl Princess with the last episode for the year, Truth Heals Hurt Radio. Yes, that's right, just the last show for this year. Gonna start back off in January, let you spend some time with your family members on Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll have more about that in the show. Today's guest is a very powerful and anointed Mario Render, who is not only a powerful man of God, but he's my cousin. And every time I hear his testimony, I get excited about how good God is and how he changes and gives chances. So y'all know how we do it. Facebook, tweet, text somebody, let them know that we're on for another powerful episode of Truth Heals Hurt. Yes, that's right, Truth Heals Hurt Radio. So go ahead, do like we do, and stay tuned for more. Hello, 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 everybody. It always amazes me at how many people make this call before I do. I am blessed that you all are on here, that you've decided to tune in. Like, it's overwhelming that you all come and just sit with me and listen to these powerful testimonies every Sunday. I want to get all my announcements out the way because I want the time that is being used for Mario and I to give you what God will have us to give you on today. It's going to be his story. I'll try to pull as much out of him as I can so that those of you that are listening can get some deliverance or be able to share this story or be able to tell somebody else to come back and listen. My first announcement. You all have helped me, and if you're not on this call, you're going to miss this announcement. But you all have helped me to have over 4,000 listeners, and I am amazed at how good God is. I'm about to cry. But and it's because of these wonderful guests and these very powerful testimonies, and I just can't begin to tell you just how overwhelming it is. I'm going to go ahead and open up Mario's line as I keep talking. Mario, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm good. I couldn't come and get you because these people beat me to the call. I told you to call in 5 minutes early, but we have some people that call in because it lets you log in 15 minutes prior to. So some of them come and they just, you know, like do things so they won't miss their slot, I guess, in the call. So.
Well, I'm just excited that many people already dialed in. So I believe God is really going to bless someone. Amen. With today's show.
Yes. Now, I did a show with Mario when I first started. My husband and Mario did my first two shows, and for whatever reason, they didn't get recorded. And however, but I'm so glad that God's timing is always amazing and always on time. Because now I get to do the show again with Mario, and I get to record it, and we get to share it. So, Mario, we're going to have to act like we're brand new, you know, like you and I haven't done this before. So if I ask a question from that, I didn't even listen to the old show because, you know, I couldn't, so I don't know what I asked you last time or whatever. But Mario and I both come from holiness background. And our mothers, aunties, or whatever, we're all raised in holiness. And there's a lifestyle and there's a standard for holiness. And so, like myself, Mario and I went off in different directions or whatever. And so I'm getting ready to let Mario tell you which direction he went into and how he got in trouble. And Mario, if you hear me say something, there's sometimes a delay. But you keep talking because what I'm saying is not as important as what you're getting ready to say. So it's about you. So I'm not cutting you off, but, you know, it's a little delay like last time.
No problem.
But
no problem.
Tell you what happened. to get Mario to the prison sentence? Like, tell us what happened.
Okay, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me on your show once again. And I just thank God who's ahead of my life and all those that may benefit from my testimony, because we understand that without a test, amen, there is no testimony. Mm-hmm. But
yes.
But like you were stated earlier, you know, I was raised in the church, holiness church. We really was taught, you know, the way of the Lord to not waver. However, as I got older, I got involved, what I would say would be the wrong crowd of people. My mom in the church would always tell me, you know, don't hang with those type of people. Don't hang with those type of people that are involved in, you know, drugs and gangs and stuff like that. But on the contrary, I did just the opposite. I started hanging with those people. I started participating in the things that those people were participating in, such as drugs, sex, and even got involved in gang activity. And that lifestyle that I was involved in led me down a path that I really was not prepared to take. And I believe because of my disobedience to the church and my family, that when I went on this path, it was very hard for me to find my way back to the church. But however, I even attempted to move from Noonan, Georgia, or Atlanta, Georgia, where I was living. I even attempted to move to Jacksonville, Florida. And I figured that if I moved from Jacksonville, Florida, then maybe I could, you know, start over. Maybe I could have a second chance at life. But just because I moved to Jacksonville, my mentality did not move as well. My mentality stayed the same. My attitude and personality did not change just because I moved from a different state. I still had some issues with myself that was not properly dealt with. So I continued to be involved in gangs, and I continued to be involved in drugs. And one day I was involved in a drug deal that actually went bad. I mean, I had done it a million times and never got caught. But unfortunately, this time I was in the middle of a drug deal, and things got bad really, really quickly. And I wound up causing harm to another individual in the process. And the next thing I know, I was in jail. Mm.
I was just saying you were in Florida then.
Yeah, I was in Florida. Actually, when I first moved to Florida, I had got involved in real estate, and I really, really thought that I was on the right track. You know, I was involved in real estate. I was doing good, working with my other family members, and I was working with them, and I actually was doing real good, but I still had that same street mentality. I still had that same hustle attitude, but for the wrong way. You know, I still was involved in drugs, and I still was involved in gang activity. And when I was in Florida, I committed that crime, and it caused me to be incarcerated.
So how long did they tell you going to be incarcerated? Like, you don't have to tell me what your charges are unless you want to, but how long did you have to stay in prison?
Well, you know, that's a funny side, and I'm glad that a lot of people are listening in, because God is always there for us, even in the midst of our foolishness. When I first got arrested, I was involved in a crime that caused another individual great harm, and at the time, they did not know whether that individual was going to make it or not. So you can imagine my charges were pretty serious. And when I first got arrested, they came in and they booked me and they told me what the charges were. And I was charged with 2 first-degree felonies. And they came at me with 30 years. 30 years. They told me that, Mr. Render, you're looking at 30 years because we don't know if this guy is going to live or if this guy is going to die. And when they said 30 years, my heart just dropped. You know, I didn't know it was that serious what I had done, because my mind was so cloudy. And so they came at me and they said, you know, 30 years. And I was like, oh, my God. and I literally almost passed out because I was 21 at the time, and I knew that there was no way I could spend 30 years of my life in prison, and I haven't even lived at that time 30 years. And so what happened was I got a lawyer, and my family, everybody kind of came together and trying to help with the lawyer situation. And I found me a lawyer in Jacksonville, and we went back and forth with court and trial. And at that time, before I actually tell you how much time I actually got, at that time, you know, that's when I really, really began to try to seek God. Because sometimes at our lowest point in life, that's when we really realize that we need God. And there was no other point in my life that I really realized how bad I needed God other than that point in my life right then. And so they came at me with 30 years, and I got a lawyer, and we talked to him, and we fought, and I actually fought my case inside of the county jail that they had me held in for over 14 months. Before I even went to trial, you know, fighting it back and forth. And they came at me and they said the best they can do is 15 years. And they said, well, Mr. Renner, you're going to probably have to do 15 years in jail and prison. And again, I was like, Lord, no, I can't do that much time. So a long story short, I kept praying and fasting and seeking God. And even in the midst of me being in the county jail, I had got saved at that point. And I would begin to minister to other people. I would see other people get set free, and I was yet still incarcerated. And so fast forward a few months, I finally go to trial, and I've done what you call an open plea. And I plead openly before the judge, and they said, Mr. Render, do you understand what you're doing? And I was like, yes. They said, we can give you anywhere from 0 to 30 years right now. And I said, I understand. And they gave me 15 years, but to serve 7.5 years in prison and 7.5 years on probation. And so I did not have to do the 30 years that they wanted or the 15 years that they tried to give me. I wound up only having to do 7 calendar years inside of the Florida Correction Institution.
Okay, what I like what you said was this. And see, this is the part where people don't get the other day, Mario, I was looking at Fantasia. They had a video, and I kept seeing all these comments about how she was dressed, and I'm going to use this for you. But people kept talking about how she was dressed, but I watched her as she went on her knees and bowed down before God in her outfit that everybody was talking about. And she began to cry out to God on that stage with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, judge not, first of all. There's a scripture that says judge not. And so when people go through things, we tend to, as people looking from the outside, you know, judge. But as the people begin to talk about Fantasia, I said, that girl right there in that place is ministering to more people than some of us who go to church every Sunday. She's right now showing God to that many people. So as you begin to talk about prison, the first thing people like to say is, oh, well, you're in prison. That's all you can do is read. But aren't there some other things you can do besides get to know God?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's funny you say that. You know, you hear that a lot, and people will feel about that because they don't understand. It's easy for someone else to talk about Fantasia or to talk about someone that's been incarcerated or talk about anybody but themselves. But a lot of times the man that needs to be corrected is the one that's in the mirror. But in prison, there's so much going on. It's just like a whole nother world. And they have this stuff on TV where they talk about lockup or inmate, whatever they have on TV. That's so far from the truth and what's actually going on inside of the correctional institutions that I went in. You have killings going on inside of the prison. People are getting raped every day in prison, and you have a whole nother community that cares nothing at all about the things of God. You have what you call skinheads. You have Nazis. You have Muslims. You have Christians. You have Crips, Bloods. I mean, you everything that's on the street, you have inside of a prison, but it's up to you to determine what type of life you want to live. I know so many people that I witnessed over the time I was incarcerated had left and got out and came back in. we have family members, and I'm not going to call their names, that have been to prison more than one or two times. See, it's not so much of what you do while you in there, but it's about what gets in you while you was in there.
Yes. So that's what I'm going to say, because the first thing people will be talking about, well, you know, we're in prison, that's all you can do. No, there's some other options. And so you didn't have to choose God at that time. You could have turned your back against your, you know, away from your calling. And so I wanted to address that. Another thing I want to address is, okay, so now you've committed this crime, and I thank God for being so forgiving and so loving and kind
yes.
to us. But with this, okay, so now you're serving this time. You did commit the crime. And so now, you know, you're going before God and you're praying for God to, you know, relieve you so you can come out. And I mean, since you've been out, you've been on fire. That's all I can help them with, you know, like I can help them. But when you were coming out of this, and as God began to grow you in the inside of the prison to be able to minister to those in there, were people listening to you?
You know, that's a great question. And I'm going to say this. When I first, I want people to understand this. When I first, it may be a few people listening, I don't know, that kind of know me from the street or that may have known me on the street. So a lot of my family members really didn't know the type of person I was. I was actually a good guy, but I was involved in a lot of bad things. So when I first got incarcerated, I was not save overnight. Amen. I don't want people to get that misunderstanding. I wasn't just became a saint on Friday after I was incarcerated on Monday. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But once I did give my life to the Lord inside of prison, it was hard because every day you had people that wanted to fight, wanted to introduce you to drugs, pornography, to bring in weed, to bring in drugs, to fight, to gang bang mm-hmm. continually. I had to make a stand in prison that I was not going to click up with the Crips. I was not going to click up with any other gang member, but I was going to stand for righteousness. See, one thing about me, Princess, is in our family is just like this. If we're going to do something, we're going to do it 100%. When I was in the world, I was in the world 100%. And so when I became a Christian, even though I was incarcerated, I was going to give God 100%. Everywhere I went inside of prison, I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was walking on a rectangle. We had thousands, and I mean thousands, that came to the ministry that God called me in inside of prison that actually came and gave their life to the Lord. It's men and women right now that got saved from my preaching inside of prison that's still connected with me now, that's living a free life and still call me, amen, and still call me for
amen.
Comfort and direction and prayer. It's prisoners, it's officers that's probably listening in now that was, when I was incarcerated, they was there, they would witness my life, they would come to me, they would say, man, how are you going to serve God and you incarcerated? How are you going to tell these guys about being free and you incarcerated? And I would tell them, Princess, I would say that even though my body is locked up, my spirit is free. And I began
yes.
to preach the message of Jesus Christ, and people would get saved. Officers would get saved. People would get delivered. Other churches would come from the outside just to hear my story. And I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ since the day I stepped foot in the Florida Correctional Institution, and I never changed ever since, because when God saved me, he saved me for real.
Amen.
And
see, that's what I'm telling you. God can use, to me, my life, I would not be who I am today without the things that I made mistakes on. I would not be the woman of God that I am without the choices that I made that were very dumb choices. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I
yes.
feel like now, reach multitudes. I feel like if I had just stayed in that place, not telling people to go out and make mistakes, but I feel like God took my mistakes and he said, listen, if you will allow me, I will use this for my glory. And I'm telling you, I don't think I would have reached as many people, even with this show, this idea that God gave me. I don't think we reach as many people just going to church on Sunday and never experiencing, you know, something out of our mistakes. And so I just powerful that even in your mess up, God did a turnaround and then pull more people in out of your mistake than he would have if you would just miss the goody two shoes every Sunday. You see
oh,
what I'm saying?
Absolutely. My family members tell me all the time that they believe that God allowed me to go to prison to become who I am today. And I agree with that, Prince. Even though I was raised in the church and even though I knew the Bible, but I believe sometime in life you have to come to a place where you either are forced to serve God or you're just going to choose God. And some people are not going to choose God. Sometimes it takes a dramatic incident in our life to push us towards our purpose and our calling. And I believe that's what happened with me. I believe that the Lord allowed me to get involved in that situation so that now I can go out and help those same kind of people that was living the way I was living.
Plus, when you go out, Mario, you know what you're talking about. You could go talk to street people that way because you know what you're talking about. And see, that's what I'm saying. You know what's funny to me, and I want you to piggyback off of this. But, you know, we go to school to be doctors, and doctors spend 8 years for us, you know, to gain the knowledge they need to tell us how to take care of ourselves. But with Saved, Sanctified, side of this, you know, this is my Truth Heals Hurt show, y'all, so y'all get ready for what I'm getting ready to say.
Come on.
Just want to walk up in the pulpit. We don't want to know nothing hardly. We don't want to be done experience nothing hardly. Just the Lord is good and He is merciful. But when you meet somebody who has been through some stuff, see, they can get some people delivered and set free. They can help some people, you know, walk in those gifts because they know how it feels when they was running, you know, away. But I'm like, I appreciate y'all that's got, like they said, many were called and few were chosen. Thank God that I'm amongst the chosen and not just the called. You know, because I feel like even you, Mario, you're amongst the chosen ones and not just the called.
Oh, absolutely. And I like to say this a lot, Princey. Some people are called and some people are sent and some just got up and went. Amen. And the reason I say that is because what you're saying is so true. So many people have been. And I'm not saying anything against this. Please don't hold it account or be judgmental what I'm about to say. But a lot of people, the ministry has just been passed on to them from another minister, from their father or from somebody that already had a church or already had a ministry, and they kind of just grew up and they just went right into it. But see, myself and so many others like me, you know, we had to go through the struggle. We had to go through the trenches. We had to go through the valley of the shadow of death that we can boldly say, I will fear no evil, because we understand that the Lord is with us. I had to go there. I had to be incarcerated. I had to be involved in gangs. I had to be involved in streets. Why? Because those same people are the ones that God called.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I did not come for the righteous, but I came for the sick and the lost. And that's what I was. I was sick and I was lost. And when God delivered me and saved me, He gave me that same message to go back to those very same people that I was just as like, to help bring them out of this darkness. Some preachers can't go where I go and minister. Some people, when I tell them where I'm at ministering and preaching, when I be in Atlanta, when I be in Peachtree and Pine, the homeless shelter, when I be in the streets, they be like, wow, you go down there? Yeah, I go down there because that's where God called me from. And that's where I came from. So I'm familiar with that, and I know what they're doing. I know the gang activity. I know the gang bangers. I know the drug dealers. I know the homeowners. I know them type of people. So I can go there and, with the help of the Lord, help bring them out of that darkness until they can see the marvelous light, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes, and then I say to myself, Lord, if we scared to go, who going to go? Who going to go down there other than the people that just like that? You know, like who? So we have to be in a position to where when you make these mistakes, if somebody is on this call and you have a question or you want to make a comment or join in, press 1 if you're on the call. If you're online, then you have to make a comment on the Facebook, and then I will relay the message to Pastor Render. But what I was saying was, if who's going to go and out here to speak to people if all of us saved people are afraid? Who's going to go get these, you know, help these people to see that Jesus is real, that He can save you, He can heal you, deliver you, set you free? You know what I'm saying? Who's going to do it if we don't get out here and get this word out here and not be afraid? Like for me, I grew up in the heart of Atlanta. I'm not afraid to go in certain neighborhoods. I'm invited in certain neighborhoods. So when I go now, I'm ready. And I'm going to talk to people about my dumb choices and things I made, you know, things I did. So I praise God for that. I have somebody that pressed one, so let me open up their line. Mario,
amen.
This is going to be for you. Wait, hold on 1 second. Caller, your last 4 digits are 8990. Again, that's 8990. Your line is open.
How you doing, Mr. Mario? I like all your insight on God's words. I'm from the Newton area. I'm a Carter. I don't know if you know me or not. I really like Carter. I have a good word to put out there.
And I think I do remember you, brother. I think your name definitely sounds familiar. I probably have to see your face. But I'm glad that you're listening in and that the message that we're trying to put out is definitely being reached, amen, from the people of God.
Everybody, listen, we have a story to tell. This is Princess talking. This is my show, Truth Heals Hurt. Listen, if you got something you want to share, hit me up online and send me something so that we can get you on the show if you're interested. Hold on, we got another caller. Caller, last number ending in 5856. Your line is open. I don't like to call out that
phone. Hello, Pastor Mario.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing? God
bless
you.
Praise God. This is Apostle Rebecca Momo.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. How you doing? Bless the Lord.
I am doing so well, and I have such a great smile just knowing that you're sharing, you know, a real testimony with the world and
yes.
How God can take our mistakes and our mess-ups and turn them into messages and where we find God.
Yes.
And you know, because one thing about it is that when you come in and to contact with God in a place where you need mercy and you need a divine intervention, he knows how to do it, and he knows how to get you into a place that it wouldn't, that experience will never be erased from your heart.
Yeah.
And so by you serving God the way that you do now, as you said, you were a good man, but you did bad things.
Yes.
How many
yes.
of us can really truly say those things and to experience what you experienced and to come out to live, to tell it, and still live the life behind it? Not many.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, it was
amen.
Very hard.
Tell us where, Apostle, do you have a church? Or you go to different places to minister?
I have plant churches. I have right 501c3. Mm-hmm. I deal with law. I deal with a lot of things. I am a president of IBE Infinity, which is a political
mm-hmm.
nonpartisan campaign dealing with issues of different diversity. But basically,
okay.
It was developed out of concerns for black profiling, our black young men dealing with racial issues concerning us as a whole, as a race. And if you want more information, just go to www.ibe-bpac.com, and you will find
okay.
out why God put me in this place.
Okay, that's what I wanted you to share with our callers, since we have so many people online. I want y'all to know who these people are when I open up their lines. Thank you so much, Apostle. Okay, Mario, we got quite a few people with pressing one, so I'm going to try to move as swiftly as I can. Y'all hang tight. If you press one, I'm going to call out the last four numbers of your telephone number because I don't like sharing your entire number. So please just listen out for the last four digits of your number, and we thank y'all for pressing one. Let me get y'all in here. Hold on. Caller, you're 2806. You're on the line. Your line is open.
I'm Demario Render. I want to know how it was for you watching your kids grow up on pictures.
And that's a great question. That's actually, I think, one of my sons calling. But watching my kids grow up on pictures was actually the hardest part of being incarcerated. When I left, my kids was barely walking. And to experience your kids from such a distance, the feeling was unexplainable. To actually know that you have kids in the world and can't be there for them. It's people that have kids now and that do nothing for them, that they see every day, but loving your kids and wanting to do something for your kids, wanting to be there for your kids and not being able to do something for them, it was heartbreaking. I really didn't know. Some nights I would cry. Some nights I would just look at the pictures until I fall asleep. And some nights I would pray, God, please deliver me from this place. But to answer your question, it was very hard and very difficult to watch my children grow up on photos, to not be able to physically hold them and be there for them. And that's why now, and I say this respectfully, I'm on child support now, but I keep my kids as much as possible. I do as much as I can for my kids. I keep them every summer, every winter. I have them every weekend. I take them to church every Sunday. I personally groom them because I miss so much of their life. And now I'm just glad that I still have enough of their life to help shape them and mold them into the young men they should be. Thank you for your question.
DeMario.
Thank you.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, are you Mario's son?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, tell me how it felt with you not being able to see your dad, because you can help somebody too. Your truth to heal somebody hurt. So do you mind answering that question for me? How did it feel for you when your dad was locked up and you couldn't see him or be with him?
It felt really hard, and I also have a twin.
Yeah, it's two of y'all, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you mind sharing me how you said it was really hard for you?
It was really hard because my mom was alone, and I didn't know who my dad was.
And so I thank you for sharing that with us because, see, even though that was may have been difficult for you to answer, there are so many callers on the line, and there are so many people that you and your dad today are going to help realize that God is still able to mend broken hearts. And because now you get to hang with your daddy on Sundays, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. My mom, do you know who my mom is?
Diane.
Yeah, Miss Diane. So I get excited when I see y'all with your dad, and then you get to hang with Yana sometimes, but she ran away from y'all. So I'm going to go in these other calls. But thank you, DeMario, so much for coming on because, again, your testimony, even though you didn't say a whole lot, I promise you it helped somebody. So thank you. Okay, caller 2566, your line is open. You can speak.
My name is Sylvester Render. I don't have a question. I basically have a comment. And first of all, son, I want to let you know that I'm very proud I am of you for what you've been through and what you're doing for God. And all the listeners out there, when he tell you he was something else growing up, he really, really was. He was one of the smallest of all of my four kids. But, you know, through all the bad, sometimes you have to go through the bad to get to the good. And, son, I just want to let you know that I love you. Keep on doing what you're doing, and I know God's going to bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's my father. I love him. I love him so much. He supports me in everything I do, and I know it had to be hard on him when I was incarcerated, and he did come and see me when he could. And even you know, and one thing about it, Princess, I want to say this to a lot of people. I preach about this sometime. When one person makes a bad decision, it doesn't just affect that one person that made that bad decision.
Right.
It affects everybody that's connected to that person that made a bad decision. See, I thought what I was doing was I said to myself, well, it ain't going to matter what I do. It's my life. I can do it. Well, that was a lie from the pit of hell, because when I went to a place of incarceration, it affected my father, it affected my mother, it affected my kid's mother at the time. It affected everybody that was united with me in some kind of way. So I say this to those that are listening. Don't think the decision you are making are only affecting you. The decision we make today affects
everybody
that may be connected to you in some shape, way, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
But I thank God for my phone.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, why am I on here? Because listen, I love how God works. Oh, today y'all didn't get just one story. You get to see how everybody feels, and I thank y'all for pressing one, because you just have to be led by God. So, Sylvester, talk to me about when you got the call that your son was being locked up. Tell me about how that felt, because we got some parents dealing with that right now that's on this call.
Well, when I got the call that he was locked up, in my mind, you know, I really didn't know what was going on, what had happened, because the discussion about what happened was kept to a minimum. But I felt kind of crushed because some of the things that he did as a child, I kind of fought myself because I was out there selling drugs, doing drugs, running with a so-called gang at my time. And sometimes kids follow what their fathers do. But to answer the question, when I found out that he was getting the years that he got, it really, really hurt. It's just like, I guess the way the best I can describe it is, you know how kids be so excited at Christmas time, Mom, I want an Xbox or a PlayStation, that's all they want. And when they wake up on Christmas morning and that Xbox or PlayStation is not there, it seems like they lost their whole world. They just like, wow, I really didn't get this. And my train of thought was, this is not really happening. I guess I was in denial. And sometimes when you're in denial, it feels like that, no, this is not happening. Somebody ain't got this right. It really didn't happen. But when reality hit, all I could do is say, Lord Jesus, what did I do wrong? And, you know, I thank God that he brought him out and put him where God had already predestined him to be. You know, it was tough a long time ago that he was going to be a preacher. You know, when kids go to church and you hear people say, well, you're going to be a preacher when you grow up. You're going to be a preacher when you grow up. And as time went on, you know, we see the things that he do, but God don't have a set time to do anything that he says he's going to do. We might think it's going to happen overnight. We might think it's going to happen overnight. But God has his own time. You know, he has his own time. He's not in a hurry to do anything. We might get in a hurry sometimes, but, you know, I just thank God for you, son. I'm going to let some other callers get through. I just thank God for you. Proud of you. You keep doing what you're doing, son, and God's going to continue to bless you. You're going to go higher and higher. In Jesus' name, thank you all a lot.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, hold on. I lost one of my callers. If you press one and you reneged or you got afraid or you thought I was going to call you out, I won't do it, I promise. You press one again and I'll get you on here. Mario, I wanted to say something. Now, even with your dad, your son, you know, now pushing you a part of your ministry, a part of your life, you get to be out here. Talk to me about you. Have you seen the person that you hurt since then, or have you had any contact with, you know, anybody that knows this person?
Well, when I got incarcerated in 2006, the person that was involved in the incident was kind of like in intensive care. So at the time, they didn't know whether he was going to make it or not. And I always said that I wanted to, you know, apologize to the guy face-to-face. But the time and the place never did permit itself. So what I've done, I sat down and I wrote a letter to that individual. But the individual never got it. It was more like a release for me openly confess that I made a wrong choice, to openly confess to God that I've done something that I shouldn't have done, and, you know, submitted it before God and asked for forgiveness for God. And I prayed for that individual so much, and I pray to God even now that wherever he may be, that he's well and doing well. But I have heard from some other people that a couple months later he did recover, and that he was fully functional back to his original self. And even the other guy that I was with when the crime took place, I have spoke to him a few years back, and everybody is doing well from that situation. And that's the thing too, Francis, you know, God is so amazing that, you know, he takes the worst possible situation and make them to be the wonderfulest testimony that you can ever imagine. You know, God told, Jesus told Mary and Martha that, you know, their brother, if sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be manifested in his life. And see, my crime or what I've done to people in my past and their past and people listening, your past, amen, it may not, amen, be to your death, but it may be for the glory of God to be revealed in your life. And that's what I believe what happened with me, because, you know, it seemed like it was death. It seemed like I was going to die. And then, for instance, some nights I would cry till I can't cry no more. And family members and people that's listening, if you got people that's incarcerated, please, you know, write them and spend time with them. But sometimes it's hard in there. And I thought some nights I was not going to make it. Some nights I wanted to give up. Some nights I wanted to jump off the top bunk and just kill myself and end it. But I knew in my mind that I had people that loved me, and I knew that one day this would pass. And I'm glad now, looking back a few years later, that I didn't give up. I'm glad now that I kept going. I'm glad now that I'm not where I used to be. I'm glad now that I went through what I went through, because now God can get the glory. See, now I can set people free by my testimony. Now I can be used by God. Now I understand what it is to have nothing. Now I understand what it is to be bound. Now I understand what it means to be held captive. Now I understand what solitude means. Now I understand a lot more than I would ever understand had I not went through what I went through.
Okay, we got some callers. Person one, hold on 1 second. I thank you so much for this. Caller 9391, your line is open. Are you there?
I hear somebody, but I can't hear.
Yeah, if your last digits are 9391, your line is open. Okay, they might have changed their mind. I don't like to give out the whole number, so I'm not going to do that. Next caller, hold on. Caller, if your last four digits are 5685, your line is open.
It's not a question, but it's a compliment. Uncle Mario, this is Jalen, and I'm so thankful of you for helping me and keep me on the right track. Because, like, at first I was on the wrong track, but you put me on the right track, and you told me the right thing to do, and I love you.
Amen. God bless you, nephew. I'm glad that my family members are listening. That's my nephew that's called in. And amen for you. God bless you, nephew. God bless you.
Yeah. And see, that's what I'm saying. God is so good. I don't like that you went to prison, but I thank God for what he did. Because
yes,
look at the lives that have been changed. Look at the way things are turning out. They say everything works for the good of them who love the Lord. And even though you get off track, even though sometimes we don't know which direction we are going in, let me say, if you love the Lord, if you love him, and it'll work out. And I'm just so excited to hear it open up another line. Caller 4272, your line is open.
Hello.
Hey,
bless the Lord. Hello, how you doing?
Hey, fine, bless the Lord.
I am Danetta Jenkins, and Pastor Mario's sister, me and her are good friends, Shana Runda. But I just want to just let Pastor Runda know that he really is a blessing, because this year my father passed, and on the day that he passed, I haven't talked to Mario. Our heavens, me and him didn't know one another. But his sister always has talked about him and, you know, talking about what a great man of God that he is and, you know, the things that he has been through. But Mario called me one afternoon when I went to Bible study, even though my father had passed, and he encouraged me so much. And just to get that phone call from somebody you don't know during a time that you need, it was a blessing. So I just want to tell Pastor Runner, you know, just continue to keep doing what you're doing. I love to hear the things, you know, that you're doing from your sister. She's always talking about you, you know, and talking about the things and what's going on at the church. And this broadcast has really just been a blessing just to hear, you know, what God has brought you out of. You know, and a lot of people need to hear that. A lot of people don't want to tell their story and tell what they don't been through. And what they fail to realize, they can be able to help somebody else. Because we all ain't been perfect. We all ain't been perfect. We all don't been through something one time or another in life. But we can go back and say, praise God, hallelujah, that it was him that brought us out. It wasn't nobody but him that did it. So I just want to say, Pastor Runda, I just want to say, thank God for you. You continue to be on fire for the Lord. And also, ma'am, I want to tell you, I thank God for you for even allowing, you know, this broadcast to be. And his sister texting me to tell me to get on the broadcast. Because to be able to hear where he came from, but to look at him now. Hallelujah. Yeah. I just tell you, I'm just riding the car. And I just want to get out my car right now. Y'all just don't know and give God all the praise. Because he's just a blessing. All of my show. How you not? He calling out of a bullshit. You just don't know. It's a blessing to hear what God is doing. So I just say you just continue just to keep doing it. Keep being on fire for the Lord. And, you know, I just praise him. Y'all make sure you let me know the next time that you on every time. And I love you all. And y'all be blessed.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Much, woman of God. Sheena, if you're on this call, press 1 for your cousin, please. I have one more person if this is Sheena already. But Sheena, if you're on this call, I have a question for you from somebody since your name was put out there. Hold on 1 second. I need to open up line 5197. Y'all hang tight. We only have about 15 more minutes on this call. It says about 12. But y'all hang tight. We're going to try to get all of you in here. Caller 5197, your line is open.
Uncle Mario, this is Pun.
Hey, Pun, God bless you.
And I love you, first of all, and I love you so much for admiring young kids these days because you keeping them straight on the right path and you making sure they don't do nothing real bad. So only thing I got to say to you is I love you.
And I love you too, nephew. I'm so glad that y'all listening in. And like I always tell you, you know, stay prayed up and always keep God first. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, hold on 1 second. Line 2335.
That's all right.
This is Mario. This is Sheena.
Hey, Sheena, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Listen, I wanted you to open up your line because there was somebody saying his support system, and they say you post all the time and you share videos from your brother. Talk to me about how it was when he was in prison and now being able to sit under his ministry.
Well, when my brother first went to prison, it was very hard because, like you said, he was 22. And I had just graduated from high school. So it was very hard, not only for me, my mom, my entire family. We would have to take trips to go down there every 6 months to see my brother. And I don't know how many people would like doing that. You know, it was very, very hard. You know, you walk in and have to leave your brother there when you're leaving. You know, that was just very, very hurtful. But I thank God, like you said, he had to go there. Like you said, everything that's meant for bad, God will turn around for the good for those who love the Lord and they call him according to his purpose. And I truly believe that he had to go there. Because if my brother did not go there and serve the time that he served, I would not be the woman of God that I am today. So I just thank God for doing that for my brother because I'm able to be able to be led under his ministry and grow into to get my spiritual growth as well.
Man, I thank you so much for that, Sheena. And the reason why I ask, because, again, I have to be led by God. And while I want this show to go one way, God is showing me something and teaching me something about my show and how he does what he wants to for the people that call in. And so I just appreciate everybody that has pressed one. I appreciate all of the comments, even the things that are being said to Mario, because Mario is very humble. He says thank you, and he kind of moves on. And I think we got that from somebody in our family, because people tell me all the time, "Princess, you're such a blessing to me." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And I'm like, "Okay, let's move forward. Let's come on." You know, like I don't stay there.
Yes.
But I thank God. I thank God for today. With today, I can truly say that this call shows that deliverance is not something Mario has to tell somebody he did. It's being shown. And other people are speaking of this testimony with him. Isn't that awesome and powerful that other people are coming in and saying, "My life has changed because of what you went through"? And that's like that caller said, if you don't share your testimony, a lot of us won't get delivered. But if you don't live your testimony, then a lot of us won't know how to live ours. And so I thank you. We got another caller. Hold on 1 second. Caller 9500, your line is open.
Hello. My name is Kim Shivers. I am Mario's aunt. And all I have to say, I don't have a question. Me and Mario's brother, that's my brother. And I just want to say I'm proud of him. I'm proud of what he's doing. I'm proud of how he's ministering to his entire family. I have not had a chance to see him personally minister, but I see him on Facebook. And I just want you to know, Mario, I'm so proud of you. It just fills my heart every time I see you, how God is taking you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And I'm really proud. I'm just wanting to let you know I'm proud of you.
Wow, hey, thank you so much, Auntie. I love you guys so much, and I tell you, and I tell people this all the time, just because we don't see each other don't mean I'm not thinking about you, and I know it's the same for y'all, but I'm so glad that you called in. It means a lot to know that you're loved and cared about, so I thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Now, Mario, I got to go to my Facebook. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Say something. No, go ahead. Mario, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. You know it's got a delay. So you go ahead, and I'll get the question
straight.
Okay.
So what I was saying was, you know, to a lot of people that may be listening, you know, what God is doing, not only in my life, but in everybody's life that's willing, God is getting ready to do some miracles in people's life. And I know this is kind of off the topic, but the reason I wanted to say that is because every life and every individual that may be tuned into the Spirit of God, there's a miracle in the atmosphere even now that God is getting ready to release on his people. And the reason I wanted to say that, Princess, is because obedience is the key to the breakthrough that a lot of people need in their life. And I wanted to say, Princess, your obedience to the Spirit of God to allow God to have his way in this show is a key indicator that the miracles are able to be released because of obedience. And we have to begin to be obedient to our parents, to our leaders, to our people that are in charge over us. If we really want to see the blessings of God, we have to be obedient, because through our disobedience, we become unproductive. And my disobedience may have led me down the wrong path, but thank God, in the midst of my disobedience, I found obedience in Christ, and that's why I'm able to be the miracle that I am now, because of the obedience that I had when God finally allowed me to open my eyes and see. So I just wanted to say that while you get the other questions together.
Okay, I think so. Okay, my son has 20 years, but his mentality has not changed. I continue to try to speak life over him, but he seems so indifferent. I don't want to give up, but he doesn't seem to be making positive changes. It's like he doesn't believe God is working.
To say to answer that question, caller, I hope you're listening in. I was there with a lot of people that had 20, 30, and 40 years. Like I said, they tried to give me that amount of time. And for the best thing you can really do for your son right now is write him and let him know that you guys love him. Let him know that we can't really focus on trying to get out, because what happens is a lot of guys, when they're incarcerated, they're so worried about getting out that they forget about what God is doing on the inside. And see, in order for your son to be free physically, he has to first become free spiritually. And that's the problem with a lot of people that's incarcerated. The only thing they're worrying about is trying to get out, trying to get out, trying to get out. And see, what happened with me, for instance, I didn't worry about getting out anymore. I just started doing me. I just started taking care of me. I started getting my inside right. I started seeking God. I started trusting God. And then that's when the door was open. I remind you, I'm supposed to still be incarcerated. But God allowed me to get out in that short period of time. So to your son, ma'am, or sir, that got the 20 years, I encourage you to continue to write him. The best thing for him is prayer. A lot of times in there, while it seems like God is not there for us, it seemed like God have abandoned a lot of people in prison. But even though we know God hasn't, but the mentality of those that's incarcerated is that way, because they see so much negativity. The police is constantly harassing us in jail. They make you stand in line in the rain when you're trying to eat. They knock your food over. They slap you. They spit on you. I mean, so much going on in prison that you don't know about, that your son might not even be telling you about. So it's probably definitely hard for him. But I encourage you to keep writing him and trusting God and let him know that he can definitely write me, and you can get my address off my Facebook page, or you can inbox me personally, and I will write him myself. And to any caller that may be listening, you have any family members or kids that's incarcerated and would like me to reach out to them personally, you can find me on Facebook. That friend should tag me and just go to my inbox, and you can inbox me, and I'll be glad to write them personally or pray with you personally to help you through a tough situation.
And I'm going to say this, our time is coming close, but I want to say this too to the person that asked the question. Another thing what we have to realize is once we sometimes we want to talk to people and say things, but if you let the Holy Spirit speak on your behalf into the mind of the person that you're trying to reach, see, then it becomes as if it is their thought. And so what I've learned to tell parents from working with children who got in trouble, who dealt with situations, pray about your situation. Pray, get on your knees fast and pray. Ask God to be the one that's speaking to that mind, because right now that mind is not going to change. It's not going to change with him being in, like Mario's testimony is different. But with this particular person, the testimony may be that he has to endure some other things or go through some other things. And so all you can do as a mother is to get, I ain't talking about your regular prank. Mario, you know what I mean. We got to go into the Holy Spirit. Like even now with my children, I stop talking so much about what I want them to do. I tell the Holy Spirit what I want them to do. I tell the Holy Spirit to let God's will be done, because sometimes what I want them to do ain't right either. And so in order for them to be powerful men and women of God, we as parents have to allow God's will to be done, and it's hard sometimes. And so I just say to you to pray and ask God to send angels to speak to your child, speak to that mind, because your mind has to change. Your mindset has to change, and sometimes it's not going to change. And then you need to let Mario talk to him. You need to let people who have been in prison, who can tap in to that spirit, speak to those people. If you are, whatever it is you've dealt with, go to somebody else who has been delivered from it so they know how to speak to that spirit. Mario, our time has come to a close. Like always, I may have to call you back. We may have to do another show. If we have not answered everybody's question, I am so sorry, or I did try to get everybody online. You had someone leave you a message on the Facebook, so don't forget to go back there, Mario, and listen and see if you can respond, because you have some compliments there also. But, y'all, God has moved today in such a powerful way, and I'm so glad that my cousin was able to join me at the new year. I'm going to make some changes, so I'm going to see if I can get him to come back, like always.
Amen.
But it's coming to an end. So, Mario, we're going to have to talk on the Facebook. It's going to start doing the countdown in just a second. But y'all reach out to us on the Facebook, the post that I tag. And, Mario, I love you. I thank you so much.
Al, thank you so much. I love you. If anybody want to reach me, feel free to inbox me. Amen. And I'll answer any question. Princess, we thank God for you, and we love you. May heaven shine upon you. It's my prayer. You don't have a problem. All you need is faith. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, no, it's time to go. But I'll be back next week, same day, same time, but with a different guest. I'm out. Oh, oh, oh. Da-da.